shouted. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Family Church, everybody. Good morning. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? We just welcome everybody, both inside and several folks that are in our parking lot. We, of course, apologize for some technical difficulties. You know, when we changed things up, when we moved into the building and are using some different equipment, we're still working out some bugs, so we appreciate everybody's patience. It seems like now, Justin, do we have a thumbs up out there? All right, good. The folks in the parking lot, you can hear me loud and clear. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, hit those horns. We love you. We're with you. We're all together as one church family, and we just welcome you to Family Church. We, of course, as I look around, I see a couple of new faces with us here today. We just welcome you to the church. For those that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We know that God's got a great plan for your life. He tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And so God's got a plan for your life, and our job here at Family Church is to tell you all about that plan. It begins with God's word. It ends with God's word. It is first and foremost. It's not our opinions. It's not our politics. God gets what he likes around here. Amen. And so we're just so glad to see you. We hope that you find Family Church a welcoming place. Of course, we're going to be running these combination services until further notice. And what that simply means is that we have two options available for you. We have the drive-in service still available. If you feel more comfortable sitting in your vehicle, if you feel like that's a safer place for you, please utilize that. If you feel that it's better to be isolated, if you feel like you want to, you know, be separate from those that are not wearing masks or something like that, the drive-in option is a great place for you, all right? And so that's still available. We have changed our FM frequency. We have moved to 87.9. It just seems to be clearer for us. And so just make a note of that if you are going to stay in the drive-in service. And then, of course, the building is now open. Praise God. So you have two options. You know, if you want to be inside, if you want to be worshiping inside the sanctuary, you certainly can. For families with young children, we have several of our auxiliary rooms available to you in both wings. We have the narthex. We have the video feed out there. There's extra seats and so on. If you need to take care of a child or something, make yourself available to that space or to one of the extra rooms in one of our wings. We do have ushers in each wing. You can simply ask them what room is available for you, and they'll point you towards that. Praise the Lord. Of course, none of our children's ministries, our nurseries, everything is closed for the time being. We get to all be together in the sanctuary, just like Jesus did at the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we welcome you, and this is going to be our church format until further notice. It's good to be together. Amen. Praise the Lord. And since this thing has began, you know, we have not missed one weekend service on our church properties. Glory to God. You know, we're very excited about that. I have a couple of announcements for everybody. First of all, if you ordered Carolyn Lawson, our very own Carolyn Lawson, she wrote a book called The Cure. It's on biblical healing. If you want to pick up a copy of that, you can see somebody at our reception desk. If you ordered a copy, that is in and ready for you to pick up. And today, folks, we have a very special announcement. We have a special brother that's part of our church family. We are celebrating. How many of you know Spurgeon Carlson? How many of you know Butch? All right. Well, Butch is a dear brother. He's part of the church. He's sitting in the parking lot right now. Well, he drives every single Sunday down to Family Church from Stockton. You say, well, you know, okay, you know, there's some people that make a drive. Well, here's the thing. On Wednesday, he is turning 99 years old. Glory to God. Yes. Butch, we know that you can hear us. We're all clapping for you. Butch is sitting out there in that beautiful Saab station wagon. It's silver. It's on the end. Hey, his birthday is this Wednesday, July 15th. We're just going to encourage the church. Folks, if you could, you know, get some cards. You know, let's be a blessing to Spurgeon as he gets, you know, ready for next summer when he gets to hit the century mark. Amen. And so we're excited about that. If you get a chance, you know, stop in at the drugstore, pick up a birthday card for Butch. You know, if you're not sure where to send it, you can bring it right here to the church. We'll make sure that he gets that. I have a card already waiting for him on my desk. And so I got to sign that this morning. And we're just going to celebrate Butch's 99th birthday. All right, driving to church and doing a good job. Better than some. Maybe better than most. Praise the Lord. So anybody that ever felt inconvenienced about getting to church, he is destroying the grade curve for you. No excuse now, right? If you're not 99 and driving from Stockton to be here, you should be here. Amen. Glory to God. So, Butch, we know that you can hear us. We wish you just the greatest happy 99th birthday this coming week. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Let's go in our Bibles over to John chapter 1. It sure is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Last week, I started a series of messages called The Light of the Word. The Light of the Word. And of course, if there's one thing we always need, and we need right now in the world that we're living in, we need the light of the Word of God. We need the revelation of the Word. We need the strength of the Word. We need the power of the Word. Amen. And I'll tell you what, we're just saying this around the churches, you know, over the next several weeks. We are falling in love with the Word all over again. Everything begins with the Word. You can't know the Spirit of God apart from the Word of God. Everything that we do, how we live, how we conduct ourselves, what we say, how we think, the blessing and power of God, it all begins with the Word of God. Now, if you weren't here last week, well, that's okay. We're going to give you a pretty significant review here today, and then we're going to take things, you know, a little further. Go to John chapter 1 and verse 1, and last week we focused on these first five verses, and again, I'm just going to give you some of the things that we talked about last week, because I understand it was a very busy weekend. It was the fourth weekend last week, and many folks couldn't be here, and so we'll give you a review. John chapter 1 and verse 1, we'll read the first five verses. It says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, or you could simply say the Word is God. And isn't it interesting how God introduces himself in John chapter 1, verse 1? He doesn't call himself God, you know, I mean, just exclusively. You know, he doesn't call himself the Creator. He doesn't call himself the Savior right here. He doesn't call himself the Healer. He calls himself the Word, all right? Because it's the Word that does all those other things. The Word creates. The Word saves. The Word heals. He doesn't call himself the Provider because the Word will provide. He first introduces himself as the Word. If you need to get saved, you'll get saved by receiving the Word. If you need to get healed, you can get healed by receiving the Word. If you need provision, you can receive it through the Word of God. Amen. Reminds me of Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his Word and healed them. You could say it this way. And also it goes on to say in that same verse, and he delivered them from their destructions. He delivered them. So what does the Word do? It'll heal you. The Word will deliver you. The greatest and highest deliverance that exists from God exists through getting deliverance through faith in God's Word. All right, because it's the Word that will deliver you, and it's the Word that'll keep you delivered. The Word will break addictions. The Word will destroy depression. The Word will destroy poverty. The Word will destroy sickness. Amen. Glory to God. In the beginning, God says there was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word is God. It says, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Word. So notice the Word is not an it. The Word is the capital W. The Word is a him. And you know who is the Word? Jesus Christ. Amen. All things were made by him, the Word, And without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. In him, the Word, Christ, was life. And the life is the light of all men. Amen. And verse 5 says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Go back over to verse 1. We're just going to give you a few things in the by means of review. Notice it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Notice this, that God makes the Word equivalent to himself. The Word of God is as good as God himself. So wherever the Word goes, God will go. When you meditate on the Word, you are building God on the inside. God's strength, God's life, God's health. So notice this, wherever the Word is, God is. And so you don't need God to get off the throne physically, so to speak. I know he's not a physical being, you understand what I'm saying though. God does not have to get off the throne. He does not have to come into your house, you know, so to speak. You know, wherever his Word is, it's as good as God being there. When you speak the Word of God in faith, it is as good as God speaking his Word by faith. Whatever God's word can do in his mouth, God's word will do in your mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So guess what? You are never without help because you always can have the word with you. And the more you meditate on the word, the more you're going to build God's nature of love on the inside, God's nature of forgiveness on the inside, God's nature of victory on the inside. You know, people are wanting more experiences with the Holy Ghost. There's no greater experience with the Holy Ghost than being filled with the Word. Filled with the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And when God, you know, introduces himself or reveals himself as the Word, we said this last week, the term the Word, it literally means the spoken truth. So God himself is the spoken truth. The spoken truth created every galaxy, every mountain, every ocean. The spoken truth is how God operates. The spoken truth is how you got saved. The spoken truth is how we will get healed or walk in our healing. You know, the spoken truth is what will bring, you know, deliverance to your mind. It'll deliver you from fear and anxiety and all these things. Amen. So God is the spoken truth. So that should tell us what he is and what he wants from us. Now, since God is the spoken truth, that must tell us that he, number one, he wants to be believed. Because God's word, he wants you to first and foremost believe his word. And then second, he wants you to obey his word. And so we could say it this way, God's light, God's creative power will operate in your life at the level in which you believe God's word and obey God's word. It's not at the level in which you read God's word. You can, of course, reading is involved, you understand. But you could read the Bible. I know Christians that they will read the Bible cover to cover every year, but they still don't know how to use the word. All right? You can read it, but if you fail to speak it, if you fail to believe it, if you fail to act on it, right, then it's not going to work for you, all right? Now, go over to Luke 24. This is where we were last week. Go, it's just a page or two back in your Bible. Go to Luke 24 and go to verse 32, Luke 24, 32. And again, I'll just kind of rehearse the story here. Remember, this is after Jesus was risen from the dead. Remember, he talked to those two men on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? And they were talking about the resurrection and all the stuff that was going on concerning Jesus. And Jesus was walking behind them or near them. And Jesus basically said, hey guys, what are you talking about? And they said, well, hey, haven't you heard about all the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth that have transpired lately? And Jesus basically said, oh, yeah, tell me about it. And so they walked with him, remember, and then they ended up having a meal together with him, and they still the whole time didn't know who Jesus was. And then at the last moment, Jesus revealed himself. Remember that? and all of a sudden they realized who he was, and then Jesus disappeared. Remember? And then verse 32 is their reaction, what they said after having an experience with the Word, after spending some time with the light of the Word. Look what they said. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way or by the road, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And so notice this. Two things happened to these guys after they spent time with the Word. Number one, it says, didn't our heart burn within us? That word burn, it means to set a fire. Literally, when they spent time with the Word, the light of the Word set a fire on the inside of them. Christians, especially Pentecostals, are trying to have the fire without having the Word. There is no sanctioned fire from heaven that does not begin and be explained by the Word of God. If it's not in the Word, it's not for us. It all begins and stays with the Word. God has already shown us by the Word what we can know and expect from him. All right? So he wants to set a fire on the inside. All right? That word, you know, to set a fire, you could say it this way, to set new desires. You know the light of the Word is active in your life when it burns out old desires and puts in new desires. All right? And so we have to know and understand that. You know, how are you going to get delivered from addictions? Get on fire for the Word of God. When you get an appetite for God and his Word above that addiction will break. I'm just here to tell you, there's no 12-step program. There's one-step program. It's get on fire. The fire of God will burn that out of you. It'll put a desire on the inside. You'll walk in his victory, you know, and all of a sudden that thing will just pass out of your life and you won't have to wrestle with it so much. Amen. See, it'll burn out those old desires. You know, when you get the light of the Word gets to you, you'll have a desire. Like all of a sudden, you'll want to be in church. And I'm preaching to the choir here today. You know, we've got people inside, we got people outside. You're here today on a summer Sunday, a July, beautiful day. You know, so many people are tempted to not be in church on a day like this, but you're here, you know? Praise the Lord. And so, but when you got the light of the Word burn on you, you want to be in church. See, a lot of Christians, they're living life like they have to go to church. Here at Family Church, we live life as we get to go to church. We love it, right? We should love it. Because when the light of the Word is on the inside of us, you should hunger for the Word. Hunger for the Word. You know, Jesus said over there in Matthew 4:4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus said, just like food is to your body, the Word is to your spirit. Just like your body can be hungry for food, your spirit can be hungry for the Word. Amen. How many of you plan on eating a meal sometime later today? Anyone plan on that? All right, let's do it this way. You know, how many of you are looking forward to a meal that you'll have at some time today? So if your body can look forward to, you're not sitting there saying, oh, I have to eat later. I've got to eat later. You're saying, I can't wait to eat later. Actually, I hope Pastor doesn't go too long today because I can't wait to eat later. Right? All right. But yet, why do Christians look at the Word and say, I have to read it? I got to read the Bible. See, we can hunger for it to the point where we look forward to it. It's no more a dread than feeding our body is a dread. Amen. And if we're not hungry for the Word, we're letting the light go out. Because they said, when he talked to us, our heart burned within us. And then the second thing he said, he talked with us by the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us. Do you know why a lot of Christians are bored with the Bible? Because they're only reading scriptures. They're not having revelation of the scriptures. See, scriptures aren't meant to be read only. They're meant to have revelation. See, when you're hungry, see, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:6? Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be blessed and filled, right? So many Christians are wondering why the word doesn't satisfy them. It's because they're approaching it wrong. They're approaching it like a drudge. They're approaching it like a dread or a responsibility. You know? But when you approach a meal and you're, you know when food tastes the best? When you're hungry. Have you ever been in a place? Oh, I'm going to tell you a story, a short story. A couple years ago, I went hunting in Newfoundland. All right, if you're not familiar where Newfoundland is, that's way up, that's way out. It is very desolate in Newfoundland. Where I was, we took an airplane, a float plane, 60 miles back into the wilderness, landed at a camp, and then I hiked another 12 miles to another small camp, and then hiked out from there somewhere between another 5 or 6 miles out from there. And so the guide that was with me, they had to take us to an extreme place for the hunting location. And they told me, they said, you know, you're going to walk on ground today that no human being has ever walked on, because it was that desolate. And we could not bring very much food with us. We had like Jell-O and like Vienna sausages. You know what those things are? Canned mystery meat. You know those little things? Spam. Stuff that's like, I don't know. I mean, normally that stuff is not in my diet. I'm just going to be honest with you. All right? But I got out there after hiking mile after mile, being famished. We couldn't carry bottled water with us. We literally drank out of streams and stuff out there. You know, and some of those streams, they were clean, but all the water was like rust colored from the ore that was in the minerals that were in the water and stuff. And so you'd take a water bottle or something, you dip into this running stream, and it's like red. It's like, hey, it looks like Kool-Aid. Praise the Lord, you know. Doesn't taste like Kool-Aid, though. I went down to family church, and they were telling me about drinking the Kool-Aid. That's different. That's not what we're talking about here. So anyway, I got up to a place so famished, so hungry. I remember getting up on top of this granite dome, top of this little mountain there, and it looked over a section of wilderness about 12 miles. I got up there. I was so tired. I was so hungry. I'm going to tell on myself. Are you ready? I literally started to cry. I was sitting up there. My guide was a couple hundred yards away. I was by myself. I was so exhausted. I was so hungry. I'm, miles from civilization. There's no cell service. There's no way. I mean, you're out there by yourself. You're on your own. And I love that part of it, but it wore me down. And I'm sitting up there, and I'm like, God, what am I doing here? Why am I here? I've never been this tired. I've never been this thirsty. I've never been this hungry before. Please transport me off this rock. Put me in my home. I do not want this. Hey, look, there's a moose. All of it changed. Bad feelings gone, and that's literally how that happened. But anyway, I got up there. I was so exhausted. I got into my backpack, and I cracked one of those Vienna. It wasn't even the Vienna sausage name brand. It was the off-brand, and they're packed in that disgusting jelly or whatever that is. But I'll tell you what, I ate that can of Vienna sausages, and it tasted like filet mignon. Why? Because I was hungry. When you're hungry, you will sit in those chairs and you will relish every bit of the Word of God. The word is best received hungry. So, well, Pastor, I don't feel hungry. Well, that's good. God doesn't ask you to feel hungry. He asks you to act hungry. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So now go back to John chapter 1. We're going to give you now four things today that it means that the word of God is called light. Four things that make the word of God light to you and me. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Go over to verse 4. 1 John 1, 4. Notice this. In the Word is life, and the life is the light of men. So notice what your light is in this world. Notice what the light of your life is. All right, I'm going to say something. And I don't mean this to be misunderstood. But the light of your life is not your spouse. Justin, that's a bad time to be laughing right there. Very bad time. All right? Your spouse is not the light of your life. Your kids are not the light of your life. Your job, your business, your belongings, those things are not the light of your life. The Word of God is the light of your life. See, when you see that statement, that should be something that is spoken out of your spirit. You know, as I meditated this week in John 1:4, I just kept saying that. The Word is my light. The Word is the light of my life. And as I say that, I get more hungry for the Word. The Word is the light of my life. And the Word will break offense, by the way. By the Spirit of God, that just all of a sudden came up my spirit, beware of offense. Beware of being offended. It takes the Word to get out of that, too. Say, well, Pastor, I feel downright offended at somebody. I'm offended. Be careful about that. Say, well, I'm just waiting for that feeling to go. Don't wait for that feeling to go. Use the Word, get out of that offense. Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. That's just, you know, it's good to have the Spirit of God speak to the churches. Amen. John 1:4, the light of our lives is the Word of God. Here it is.
Light of my, whoa.
Woo! I just pounded my Bible against my chest and hit the microphone. If you're wondering out there in the parking lot what that was, I was trying to hold the Bible to my heart. And I wasn't trying to be dramatic. I was really trying to mean it. You know, here's the light of my life right here. You know, and I know I'm holding it closer to my stomach now. That's not the light of my life. The Word is the light of my life. Here's my answer. Here's the answer to the coronavirus. Here's the answer to the economy. Here's the answer to, you know, fear and anxiety. Here's the answer to healing or sickness and disease. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to a good marriage. Here's the answer to raising kids right. Here's the light of my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I cannot go beyond my knowledge of this Word. This Word is my roadmap. I don't know where to go without it. And so in 1 John 1:4, it says the Word is the light of all men. What does it mean? What will the Word do for you when it's light to you? It's not just words. It's not just pages. It's not just a book. It's light. See, people are like, I gotta read my Bible. No, I want to feed on the light. The more light I have, the more I can see. The more that I can see, the more that I can, you know, do. You know, the more that I can see, the further I can go. Amen. All right. Love the Word. Love the Word. Love the Word. All right. Number one thing that the light of the Word will do for you. Are you ready? Number one, it will find the life that is hidden from you. You know, there is a whole plan, a whole life for you that you cannot see with your natural eye. There's a whole life for you that cannot be seen, you know, through the mind of man. Mind cannot receive what God wants to do for you, right? There is a plan. There is a whole life that your mind will never figure out. And the light of the Word will come in and start to unveil the life that God has for you. All right? And we'll move along and things will, you know, will make more sense as we go. All right? There's a life that your mind cannot see or receive. Oh, listen to this. Listen to this. That life that God has for you, it is on the other side of courageous decisions. Let me say that again. When you get into the Word, things are going to be unveiled to you. Changes that you need to make, instructions you need to do, things that are going to make your flesh crawl. Have you ever gotten into the Word and realized that you're not doing it? And all of a sudden, it makes your flesh crawl to think about making that change. The life that God has for you is on the other side of courageous decisions. And the light of the Word will reveal what those decisions are. Let me give you just some basic examples, you know, from my life. I'm not trying to say I've got everything figured out. I'm not trying to talk about me. You understand. But when I first got saved and I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, there was instantly some courageous decisions. You know, decisions that made my flesh crawl. I knew at the time I got saved, I was doing things that were not compatible with the Bible. You know, my drinking, my talking, you know, things that I was up to, things that I was doing, promiscuous living, you name it, forms of entertainment, all those things. And I understood that step number one, that I was going to have to confront sin in my life. I could not be comfortable with it anymore. And I had to start making those courageous decisions like, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not partying like that anymore. All right? And of course, I didn't go out to people. I didn't go find people and say, God told me not to be around you anymore. But all of a sudden, my lifestyle changed. You know, people, you know, I'd be in certain places. They'd be like, hey, why aren't you drinking? Hey, why aren't you smoking? And I knew, you know, the answer to that was, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that anymore. And then the second bigger question is, why not? Because I've given my life to Jesus Christ. That's the first courageous decision. You're going to have to tell people. The reason why you conduct yourself or the reason why you've made changes is that Jesus is the love of your life now. But Pastor, I can't tell people that. It's going to offend them. Well, not that we purposely try to offend people. But I tell you what, we sure are not going to be a good witness to them if we hide Jesus in our life. You know, there was other decisions that I have to make. I realized that there were certain friendships and associations that couldn't continue. And you know what? To be fair, a lot of them, they didn't want to continue with a friendship with me. I literally had people, when I told them that I had gotten born again, when I told them that I gave my life to Jesus, I had friends that literally like hung their head, shook their head, and I never saw them ever again. See, because what happens when, you know, you're in that situation, you realize that a lot of your friends, what they're really doing is just using you to relieve their own conscience of their own sin. And then all of a sudden, when you're not sinning right along next to them, you're now a reminder. You're not relieving their conscience, you're pricking their conscience. And they don't want you as a reminder of what they're doing wrong. And so we're going to have to make courageous decisions. Are we going to just, you know, be comfortable with sin? Are we just going to be, you know, comfortable with living that way? Or are we going to live a way, of course, it's polite, it's courteous, it's kind, but people want you to do things, they want you to watch things. Nope, not doing it. Why not? Because Jesus. You know, I mean, there might be other courageous decisions. There might be employment that comes between you and the house of the Lord. Courageous decision. God comes first. Oh, my goodness. You know, when people have this idea with God, well, you know, I'll be there if I can. That just told God that there's something else in your life more important, you know, to him. You know, I remember in January of 2004, my wife and I, you know, we're part of the Fredonia Church. We had just stepped into a position of helps and leadership in the church. And a man came to the church and he started preaching about tithing. Yeah. Yeah. See, now, Justin, it is okay to be excited about that. Praise the Lord. You know, and we heard a series of messages and we realized, my wife and I were like, we're not tithing. We weren't tithers. We realized that we were disobedient to the word of God. And then guess what this minister did? At the end of that set of meetings, he had an altar call. You know, for those who had been disobeying God with the tithe, to come to the altar, kneel, and repent. And now, mind you, he wasn't the pastor. he didn't have a church. He was just coming in, tearing up other people's churches. You know, and I got good news for you. I'm not doing that here today. But so many Christians, they're scared. Whoa, what if I had to repent before the altar of God? Well, if you need to repent before the altar of God, there's power and good things on the other side of it. So he gives this altar call. He says, if you have been robbing God and have been disobedient with the tithe, come up and repent. My wife and I were just brand new youth leaders in the church. We look at each other like, that's us. What are we going to do, run from God? God can see me in that seat just as quick as he can see me at this altar. You know, and so we stood up. We're like, here we are. It was a decision. See, the life of God is on the other side of big decisions like that. Doing the tough things. We stood up in front of everybody. Moved down front. Everybody seeing us. You know, our pastor seeing us and sitting there probably thinking, well, I guess I missed it on those youth leaders. You know, and we're up there, you know what, and from January 2004 to this day, my wife and I have never ceased to be tithers. Why? Because the light of the word, the life that God has for you is on the other side of courageous decisions. But you will never have the courage and the boldness to make those decisions until you are first filled with the word. Filled with the word. You know, when I first got saved, I was working in a job that required me to be gone for the weekends. And I knew. I mean, that was my income. And for a man early in my 20s, it was pretty good money. And though I had a teaching degree, I was doing better at this. But I knew once I got saved, the light of the word came in. It's like, I cannot be out of church. I cannot be out of church. So I walked away from that income to be in the house of the Lord. Pastor, don't you know my job comes first? No, God doesn't know that. See, because the way God looks at it, he says, your job, your paycheck wasn't nailed to a cross. His son was. Woo, boy, now we're making people mad. Number one thing the light of the word will do is it will find the life that you could not find on your own. It'll start to unveil things. See, as I studied the word and got hungry for the word, I realized, wow, I got to change this. There was a couple people in my past that I had to go for, you know, ask forgiveness, you know, because the things that I did, you know. Amen. You know, the life that God has for you is on the other side of making the tough call. Make the tough call. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, here's the second thing, and it's very similar. What the light of the word will do for you, it will reveal decisions and the details that your mind could not discover on its own. Here's the thing you have to know about your daily life, okay? Every day, there are three sources of ideas that are funneling to you. All right? Three sources. Ideas can come from God, ideas can come from the devil, and ideas can come from yourself or others. Okay? And so those three basic sources, ideas are funneled to you. All right? Now, you can have a lot of good ideas in your life. You know, it might seem like a good idea to move, to go to somewhere else, you know, so that you can make more money. It might seem like a good idea, but there's a difference between good ideas and God ideas. Amen. See, a lot of people, they make the mistake. They get appetites for other things, and they miss the supply that is right in front of their face. Be careful about that. There's always going to be ideas that are pulling on you to be somewhere else because of more money, more convenience, better this, better that. Be careful of that. All right? That could be your idea. See, the word will come and deliver you from your own ideas. The word will deliver you from the ideas of the enemy. Satan is making suggestions to your brain every single day. But the light of the word will say, just like what Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, take no thought saying. Sounds a lot like 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself over the truth of God in your mind, trying to exalt that idea in your mind. It says, in taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have to bring thoughts, your ideas, the enemy's ideas, and you got to make them obedient to Christ. Amen. See, the word will be that filter and say, that's not God. Folks, I'm going to say something as a pastor. I have people from the churches running things by me all the time that are not God. Oh, but I wanted to do this because I wanted to do this because and they don't realize that's a hook in their mind Convenience is speaking to them. More money is speaking to them. Suggestions of the enemy. See, we know this, that you smite the shepherd, the sheep are scattered. See, one of the number one plans of the enemy is to get you away from your pastor. Because your pastor is the voice piece of feeding the word on earth. And I see it all the time, but I got to do this. And you notice every single one of those things are always selfish. But I need to go here because I need to do this and I need to do that. I need to go here because I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. I need this and I need that. And I just want to say, I, Isaiah 14, Satan said, I, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to have what God has. I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to set my throne in the congregations of the north. I'm going to do this. We don't come to church to get what we need. We come to church to serve one another. You know, so many Christians, I mean, they're approaching church like they do Burger King. I want it my way, and I want it today. But I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. No, no, no. God's plan for your life is to be a supply. You know, when people say they want to do this and they want to do that, but yet they're not serving in the ministry of helps, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. God's going to use me to do this. God's going to use me to do that. God's going to use you when you've proven yourself over years of faithfulness. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I hope I'm making you mad today. Be careful of your own ideas. Be careful of the enemy's suggestions. You have to know that there's going to be sources of ideas that are being funneled to you every day, and the word is your only hope to discern which way is right. See, it says this over in Hebrews 4:12, the word is alive and powerful. The word is quicker. You know, it says it's quick, it's alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing line between soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The intentions of the heart. See, when people come to me and they say these things, they're saying, I intend to do this. I intend to do that. I intend. Listen, you don't do your intentions. See, the word is going to be a discerner of the intentions you have. No word, you will have no way to decipher what ideas are best for you. Oh boy, that's why the word is light. The word will shine the light on those ideas. No. See, you know, the word is so bright, it will reveal cracks in your own plan. Well, I was going to do this, but if you're in the light, all of a sudden you start to see, no. If I follow that plan, it's going to take me away from my spiritual supply. If I do that, that's going to put me in disobedience with God. No, I'm not going to. You need to know the word. Here's another thing. You need to know the word to know the spirit. You need to know the word to know the spirit. You should desire. People are hungry and they're craving the spirit of God. That's a great thing. But it's out of order when you crave the spirit more than you do the word. It's why so many Pentecostals I'm picking on our own because we are a Pentecostal church, but it's where flakiness comes from. Is because they pursued the Spirit without knowing the Word. See, you got to know the Word first. It'll keep you from being flaky. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's the third thing that the light of the Word does. All right? Now, you'll see in verse 4, it says that this life of the Word is the light of all men. Drop down to verse 9 so you can see this again. John 1:9 says, and that was the true light, Jesus, the Word, and the word lights every man that comes into the world. When it says the word lights everyone that comes into the world, it means to illuminate man's spirit. The word of God will turn the lights on in your spirit. And what that means, you could literally say it this way, to ignite man's spirit, to turn on the switch so man's spirit can hear what God is saying. The word is what will make you sensitive to the voice of God. Real quickly, I know we have our scriptures up here on the screen. Can you bring up Proverbs 6:22 for us? Let me show you what the Word says about the Word. All right. Praise the Lord. Folks in our parking lot, you getting something out of this here today? Praise God. We know that you are. It says this. It's talking about the Word of God or the judgments or commandments of God. It says in verse 22, when you go, it, the Word, will lead you. When you sleep, the Word will guard you. And when you awake, the Word will talk with you. The Word will talk with you. See, you got to remember, the voice of the Holy Spirit is the Word. It will always line up with the Word, and many times it will be the Word. It will literally be the Word of God, meaning it will be worded. The phrases, the actual sentences at times will play on the inside of you, the Word of God speaking to you. How many of you want to be led everywhere you go? How many of you want the Word to guard you? And when you're awake, how many of you want the Word to talk to you? But see, remember what Jesus said. He said, the Holy Spirit will bring you into remembrance of all things that I have said. So the Spirit's job is to remind you of the Word. The Holy Ghost's job is to remind you of the Word. But what if you haven't put anything in there to be reminded of? See, I don't read the Bible. I feed on it. I want that light. I want to give the Spirit something to remind me of. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the third thing that the light of the Word does, it will ignite your spirit. It literally turns on the switch so that God can speak to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And as you meditate and you fill yourself up on the Word as you go, it'll lead you. When you sleep, it'll guard you. And when you awake, it will talk to you. Look at verse 23. Just for the sake of it, we just happen to be right there. It says, for the commandment or the Word is a lamp, and the Word is light, and the reproofs or the corrections of instructions are the way of life. See, I need the Word talking to me daily to correct me. Keep me from my own ideas. Deliver me from Satan's suggestions. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Here's the fourth and final thing. Are you ready? We're back over here in John 1:4. All right. What is the light for? Well, look down at John 1:5. John 1:5, if you could bring that back up for us. It says, the light shines in darkness. What is the purpose of the light? To shine in darkness. What does light do? It pushes back darkness. All right, notice darkness cannot push back against the light. There's no pushback. Darkness cannot get darker. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? Like, we'll talk about that here in just a moment. I don't want to get ahead of myself. All right? So the fourth thing that the light of the Word is for in your life is to turn the light against the darkness. Let me explain what that is. I know it sounds exciting and almost poetic. That's not why we're preaching it. All right? But we should, as believers, turn the light against the darkness, okay? We have to remember, everywhere we go, when the Word is built on the inside of us, light is with us, all right? Light is with us. Now, let me explain to you what I'm getting at. Light can get brighter, all right? But how many of you know darkness cannot get darker to overcome light? You know that? All right? You know, let me give you an example. Like, if you've ever been in the woods, you know, in the evening time, and maybe the sun is still up, but it's just, you know, maybe just gone down and there's still light in the sky. You ever been back there, you turn on a flashlight, and because there's still light, you know, the light doesn't seem to do much. You know, you can barely tell that your flashlight's on. Ever been there before, you know? You're using a flashlight, but there's still some light around, so the flashlight doesn't seem to be doing a whole lot. But as it gets darker and darker, that light does not get dimmer. The light gets brighter, all right? Because darkness cannot overcome light. Light only, right, pushes darkness. All right, let me explain to you what I'm talking about. So you know, I hear a lot of Christians, they'll say, Pastor, you know, our world's just getting darker and darker. My life is just getting darker and darker, and the darkness is getting, you know, bigger and bigger. Well, that's actually not true, because darkness is not strong within itself. Darkness is not, how can I explain this? Stay with me here. You can't make dark darker. You can only make the light dimmer. Darkness is not, the definition of darkness is not things getting darker. The definition of darkness is when there's less light. Do you understand what I'm saying? People say our world is getting darker. Because they say, well, is it because Satan's getting stronger? No, it's because the light is less. People say, why didn't these things happen 50, 100 years ago? I'll tell you why. There was more light 50 and 100 years ago. People say, my life is getting darker and darker. No, it's not. It's just getting less light. You understand? People say, well, you know, darkness cannot make light dark. You know? No, you can't, you know, there's no such device that you can carry that you can point at and throw dark. You know what I mean? There's no dark light. You know what I'm saying? I know this is weird. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either, but just bear with me. But do you get it in the sense that, you know, darkness is not, you know, strong within itself? It's just the absence of light. Our society isn't getting darker because darkness is getting stronger. It's getting darkness because the churches are preaching less light. If your life is getting darker, I'm telling you, it's because you've walked into less light. And see, when you get back into the Word, you start building that light again, shining that light again. See, darkness can't overcome the Word. See, that's why it says the light shines in the darkness. All right? Praise the Lord. Imagine this. Imagine if you were trapped in a solitary confinement cell. Imagine you were thrown into the deepest solitary confinement, and in those places, there's no light at all. You know what I mean? They literally, one way that, you know, these prisoner of war camps, how they operate, when someone was thrown into the inner prison, they would make sure that they would be in complete darkness. And they'd be trapped in that little room and they could see nothing. Have you ever been in a room, maybe even a room in your home that, you know, is an interior room and you shut the lights off, and you've ever been in a place where you literally cannot see the hand in front of your face? Anyone ever been there? Imagine being trapped in a place like that. Imagine being a prisoner in a place like that. And, you know, let's say you're a prisoner, and all of a sudden you hear footsteps coming to the door, and someone comes up and knocks on the door, and they say, hey, I've got something for you. I have a piece of paper here in my hand. It has instructions of how to get out of this room. Here, I'm going to slip it under the door. And they slip the paper under the door, and they say, okay, I got to go now. You know, and you reach around in the dark and you feel the paper. And on that paper is instructions to get out of that place. But is it any good for you? It's no good to you because there's no light to read it and understand it. In the same way, God is slipping us instructions every single day. But because we have not built light into us, we have no way to spiritually discern it or understand it. You know, God every day is saying, here, this is how you get out of that. Here, this is how you get out of that. Here, this is how you overcome that. And we feel around in the dark and we pick it up, but there's no understanding, because understanding begins right here. You know? You remember that movie, The Christmas Story? Remember that? Ralphie, don't shoot your eye out, kid. Remember that? Remember in the beginning, and he's saving up his Ovaltine points to get his secret decoder, you know, the old 50s radio program, and every week he'd get a new message, he'd use that little decoder, and he finally gets to the end of it, and he gets the message, and it says, be sure to drink your Ovaltine. How many of you remember that? Well, he needed that decoder to understand that message. Here's your decoder. Well, Pastor, I don't like to study my Bible. I don't like to meditate on it. Well, then you don't like light. Then you don't want answers. Then someone's slipping you your help every day, but you can't read it because you're still sitting in the dark. All right, Ephesians 6, and we'll end here. Oh my goodness, I'm 6 minutes over. We're getting back to normal. Life is good. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Are you getting any help here today? Don't look at your Bible like, oh my goodness, Pastor told me to read it. I haven't been reading my Bible enough. God doesn't like me anymore. No. That's like saying, I'm just, you know, what if you went home, and even though you've paid your power bill, everything works, and you just said, I'm never turning on my lights anymore. Your house is going to get messed up pretty quick. Light works. It's good to have it. And if you say you're going to go without meditating in the Word, you're saying you're going out, you're going without direction. You're going without correction. You're going without light. Ephesians 6, and we'll end here. Maybe. Hopefully. I believe so. As far as turning somewhere in the Bible, I might reference another scripture or 10. Some of you caught that. Praise the Lord. Some of you are already out to lunch. Come back. Come back. Ephesians 6. And let's just, you know, for the sake of time, go right to verse 17. I was going to read the whole passage. But how many of you know it's talking about the armor of God? It's talking about the breastplate of truth. It's talking about the helmet of salvation, the feet of the shod in the gospel of peace. You know, it's talking about the shield of faith, all these things. But then it comes up to verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what's the Word? It's a sword. All right, now if you read the passage, you know, in its entirety, it says, so that you may be able to stand in the evil day. How many of you know the evil day's coming? The evil day might be here. I'll tell you what, and if there's a fight coming, we might as well win it. If there's going to be an evil day that you're going to be forced in, and I just say this, if I'm going to be forced into a fight, you better believe I'm going to win it. You better believe if I have an opportunity to have a sword and to have a big one, I'm going to get a hold of the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So notice this is a sword. How many of you in here and also in the parking lot, of course, in the parking lot, you can turn to your spouse or your friend or whoever's sitting there with you. You know, you can look through the glass at your neighbor. You can nod at each other, you know. But how many of you have ever seen a real battle sword in your life at some time? How many of you have ever seen a real sword? Meaning maybe you saw it in an antique shop. You know, maybe you went to that place on the top of Peach Street in Erie. You ever gone to that place? They've got knives, they've got swords, they've got stun guns, they've got fireworks, and they have jelly bellies. I've never been in that place, but I drive by it every week, and it says stun guns, knives, swords, fireworks, and jelly beans. Man, you just might be able to show up, get yourself a dagger, a butterfly knife, and a bag of jelly beans, some fireworks, a stun gun. In case you're planning on protesting or something. You know? And I mean, I drive by that sign every day. I'm like, jelly beans and swords. Now, that just about covers all needs in life right there. But of course, why do people, you go in there, I've never been in there, but they have medieval swords in there. And people aren't buying it because they think they're going to go like fight in the king's realm anytime soon. You know, I don't think they're going to be sitting at like King Arthur's table and the Knights of the Round Table. They're buying it to decorate. How many of you ever seen a sword used for decoration or something like that? Isn't that pretty much how swords are used nowadays? Now, listen to this, and please answer this question seriously. How many of you, of course, almost all of us have seen a sword before, but how many of you have ever used a sword to defend your life or to fight for your country? Anybody that has ever used a sword in battle? No hands, all right? And maybe they're all out in the parking lot, but I'm guessing that probably nobody out there has ever used a sword in battle, all right? So you've seen swords, but you've never used one, right? Swords have become, you know, militarily almost obsolete these days. Do you know the same thing the church has allowed to happen with the Word of God, all right? We read it. We decorate our homes with it. We put it in Hallmark cards, but we don't use it anymore. We read it. We have Bible studies. We read it. We have one-year Bible reading plans. We have Bible studies. We get them in the Hallmark cards. We sew the scriptures on doilies. We cross-stitch them on pillows. We're decorating our life with the Word of God, but we're not using it. Swords are not meant to be looked at. They're meant to win the war. I don't just look at the Word to garnish my life. I look at the Word as something I use. It is my offensive weapon. It makes sure that I win in the evil day. See, He didn't give you a sword so you just hang it on the wall. He gave you a sword so you speak it out of your mouth. See, what that looks like is this. When the devil knocks on your door and says, hey, guess what? You're sick. You say, in Jesus' name, I am the healed of the Lord. By His stripes, I am healed. See, what is that? That's you using your sword. You know, when fear comes to you, you say, no, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Fear, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. That's you using sword to cut down the darkness. Amen. You know, when that's you turning that light on that darkness. You know, the Word, stop reading it as much as start using it. Well, here's my Bible. I keep it on my desk, Pastor. I've had people say, I'm proud. I take my Bible to work and it sits on my desk. Look at how spiritual I am. Good, bring your Bible to work. All right, that's fine. Don't misunderstand me here. I'm going to tell you something. Bibles are not rabbit's feet. If I have my Bible sitting on my desk, it'll bring me good fortune. No. Get it on the inside. Get it to the point where when the devil knocks on your door and tells you how broke you're going to be, how you're not going to make it, all of a sudden out of your spirit comes, no, but my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. No, He said that I'd love life and see many good days. Amen. He said He'd bless my bread and water, take sickness from my midst. Amen. He said He'd make me the head, not the tail, above, not beneath, the lender, not the borrower. That's you, that's putting that sword out there in the fight. I'll tell you what. You know, I've been in a lot of antique shops and stuff, and I've seen, you know, Civil War swords and stuff, and they show them to you, and those blades have damage on it. There's nicks and cracks and, you know, gouges out of that steel. You know why? Because a soldier used that sword. And then they show you some general sword, and it's beautiful, and it's, you know, pretty, and even though it's authentic, it never saw one real day in battle. God isn't looking for the pretty swords. He's not looking for the decorative swords. He's looking for those that actually take their sword to the fight. Amen. And if I'm telling you, if you don't meditate in the Word, you have no sword. If you don't know how to speak it, God is the spoken truth. He reveals that to us so that we will know what to do. Did you get some help here today? Amen. Don't be sitting in that dark room with your answer, but with no light to read it. Well, I come to church and I heard the Word. That's all I'm doing this week. Not enough. All right? Jesus said, like food is to your body, the Word is to your spirit. All right? If you're looking forward to eating, there should be a time in your life where you look forward to feeding on the Word. Oh, Pastor, believe me, I'm a good Christian. You know when people say that? They're basically saying, I've plateaued. I'm not going any higher. I'm a good Christian. No, you're not. Because neither am I. You understand what I'm saying? There's never a point where you ever say, all right, I've reached the height of my Christianity. I'm in coaster mode. There is always, you know, a move forward. It is always a move up. It is always glory to glory. Amen. I'll tell you what, if the glory is seeming dim in your life, I can tell you why. When the light grows dim, the glory goes dim. And there is an overemphasis on stuff today in the body of Christ. We have got to get to the Word. The Word begins it all. And if you can't explain it with this, then you're out beyond it. Get some help? Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, you're so faithful. You are so good. Lord, we just love you and praise you. The word is the light of our lives. It is our help. It is our answer. It is our guidance. It is our correction. It is our doorway into the life of the Spirit. It is the voice of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord God. You are so faithful. You are so good. Lord, we're just saying this around here. We are falling in love with your word all over again. And so, Father, that way when the Spirit does move, we will know it. We will recognize you the minute you walk in the door. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Nobody's looking around, of course, out in your vehicles as well. Everyone where you sit, ask yourself this question. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Have I made Jesus my Lord? On the inside, you'll have an answer. If that answer is no, or if it's I don't know, well then you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord, well let me just tell you, Romans 10:9 says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's just that easy if you're sincere. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Today's the day I need to receive him. Today's the day I need to know that heaven's my home. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and you can pray right there in your seat to make Jesus your Lord. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that you are unsure about your eternal destiny? And you'd like to know and make sure that heaven is your home? Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I will lead us all in a prayer, and you can pray right there in your seat. I'm not going to bring you up front today. I'm not going to make you talk to a church leader or anything like that. Is there anybody? As I look around, of course, I know most everybody here, but not quite every single person. So I just want to make sure. But since we have people in our parking lot and we have visitors here today, we're going to pray that prayer. And if you're unsure about your spiritual destiny, then you need to pray this with your heart. Speak it out of your mouth. Talk to God. He will hear you. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Folks, we're falling in love with the word all over again. Let's go ahead. Let's stand up. Of course, we'll be receiving our normal tithes and offerings as folks exit the building. Also, as those exit the parking lot. Our parking lot, folks, you can go ahead and be dismissed. God bless you. We love you. There's ushers out there to help you. Folks, what we're going to be doing today, a little bit different. I just want to give some basic instructions how we're going to be exiting the building. Okay, you'll notice in the back of our sanctuary, we have three sets of double doors. All right, so what we're going to be doing is just dividing the crowd. Everyone's going to be dismissed at the same time. But whatever door is closest to you, go out that door. All right, so we don't want everyone going out the center door. So if you're in this section, you're going to be exiting through those doors, or maybe you're just real close to those doors. That's fine as well. Same over with this side section. You'll go out this left-hand door over here, or people in this section that you're closest to that door, you can use it, and then the rest of us will go out the center door. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. Well, Father God, we just give you all the praise and glory. Father, we command your blessing upon these people. Father, we are falling in love with your word all over again. in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you so much. Yeah.